is a Momentum Media production. Australian Aviation Podcast.
The official podcast of Australian Aviation.
Unpacking the latest insights, developments and issues impacting Australia's aviation sector.
Hello and welcome to the Australian Aviation Podcast. I'm Jake Nelson. Now, a lot of ink is regularly spilled about the big capital city airports, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, but smaller regional airports are also vital links in our aviation network, connecting millions of people across Australia with the rest of the country. Now, Shane O'Hare is the CEO of Launceston Airport in Tasmania, which is currently in the middle of an $11 million infrastructure expansion project. He joins us today. Shane, welcome.
Hi, Jake. Nice to be with you.
So, Shane, first of all, let's start by giving our listeners a bit of an idea about you. You've been involved in aviation since the late 70s, early 80s with a very accomplished CV. What first sparked your interest in the sector?
I was probably growing up around Melbourne Airport, Jake, and in the suburb of Keilor in Melbourne, and spending all of my living weekends, as I remember, as a plane spotter. That really got me interested around the Keilor community in those days. Of course, a lot of aviation people living, including pilots, cabin crew, etc. So with my friend base and their parents who are pilots, etc., that really sparked my interest in aviation. And I have to say it's never waned.
So you're the head now of Launceston Airport. Give us a snapshot of the airport as it is today. For example, how many passengers does it handle?
Yeah, so Lonnie Airport, it's nearly 100 years old. It's the first airport in Tasmania, definitely the most historically significant airport in Tasmania, birthplace of Australian National Airways. It's little known that this was also the birthplace of Hudson Fysh, the founder of Qantas down here in Launceston. The current airport punches well above its weight for a regional airport and is the 11th largest airport in the country. Pre-COVID numbers around 1.4 million passengers, and pleased to say that we're getting back up to that level again on our forecasting for the next financial year.
On the subject of the COVID numbers, how has the recovery been from COVID-19? Because I know that capital city airports have sort of taken a while to build back up to pre-COVID numbers.
Yeah, so we've actually performed exceptionally well coming out of COVID. Interestingly, during COVID, we took advantage of some of the border closures throughout the country and worked with Virgin Australia, particularly in launching new routes, non-stop routes from Launceston to Perth, which was a historical first for the airport, in addition to Adelaide and to Coolangatta. And in addition to that, we were able to boost where the states with no border closure, for example, Queensland, we were able to nearly triple our frequency between Brisbane and Launceston. A lot of that additional capacity is stuck, and Virgin have been fantastically supportive of continuing those because I did perform very well during COVID. So they've continued beyond COVID as well. So that gave us a really good starting point for the recovery of COVID. And we're pleased to, I think we're in the top three best performing airports from a recovery perspective coming out of COVID. The only other two airports are ahead of us are Gold Coast and Townsville. So that's a good news story.
What about being a regional airport do you think enabled such a strong recovery from COVID?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors here. There's the uniqueness of Tasmania. It's an island. There aren't many ways in and out of the island except for by air or on the ship across Bass Strait. So there's a very, very heavy reliance for all passengers inbound and outbound for getting in and out. And that's obviously recognised very heavily by the state and the people of the state here as well. In addition to that, Tasmania goes from strength to strength as an economy. If you look at the ComSec data, Tasmania is the best performing economy in the country. It has been for the last at least 12 months. Tourism growth has been phenomenal because of the propensity for travellers to stay in Australia, both during it and coming out of COVID. Tourism spend has gone to a record $3.2 billion for last year, very well above the forecast, which indicates we're getting a very high volume of tourists staying here longer, but also high quality spend of tourism as well. So there's some of the factors. And internationally, although the international tourism growth is only back to about 65%, we're starting to see this Tasmania factor come through, where globally Tasmania is becoming a place to visit on the global wish list of a lot of travellers. So all of those things combined to build that healthy growth for us. The north of Tasmania is the economic powerhouse of the state, and Hobart is certainly obviously the capital city and seat of government. A lot of the economic development happens in the north around the agriculture, the farming. Launceston as a city is traditionally an entrepreneurial town. It's recently been named a city of gastronomy as well. And there's a lot of development, particularly in the energy, hydrogen and other industries going up in the Northern Bell Bay region, et cetera.
How would you say, sort of narrowing the scope to Tasmania itself, how would you say Launceston compares to Hobart Airport?
Well, if you look at the dynamics of the state, the population base is roughly 50% north to south. So Hobart has around 250,000 population. The north of the state has about 250,000 as well, with Launceston around 120,000 people. So it's a relatively smaller city than Hobart, of course, but the coverage for Launceston covers half the state. The other significant thing about Launceston Airport is its geographical location. It was the first airport in Tasmania for a reason. It's geographically centred right in the middle of the state. And for many, many decades, up until probably the era of deregulation, it was actually the biggest airport in the state as well. So the other key point with the development of tourism in the early days of Tourism Tasmania and the development of the tourism industry here, there was a very, very heavy emphasis on fly drive holidays. So most of the tourists and the packaging actually came through into Launceston itself. So if you draw a map of Tasmania, you'll see that most of the major tourism draw cards and infrastructure are within 2 to 3 hours maximum of Launceston. And that's an advantage over, I guess, some of the distance required to travel from Hobart. So Cradle Mountain is a good example. You've got some of the best golf courses in the world just an hour from here, Bamboogle, Freycinet, Bay of Fires, are all within a very close distance here. And Launceston itself is really punching above its weight so far as a very, very sophisticated, small regional city within Australia. As I mentioned before, the recent granting in Launceston of the UNESCO City of Gastronomy is a significant move forward and recognises just the richness of the area, just from a food, farm to plate and agricultural sector here.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to talk a bit more with Shane about Launceston Airport and in particular this $11 million infrastructure overhaul. All right, welcome back to the Australian Aviation Podcast. We're with Shane O'Hare here, the CEO of Launceston Airport. So Launceston is in the middle of an $11 million overhaul to its infrastructure, which began, I believe, last year. Tell us a bit about that overhaul and where that $11 million is going.
Yeah, so it is probably one of the largest increases in our investment from a capital infrastructure perspective for some time. The airport has great bones. As I said, it's evolved from being the first airport in Launceston, birthplace of Australia National Airways and Holyman Airways some decades ago. And quite interestingly, the terminal was originally designed and supposed to be allocated to be Australia's capital city terminal in Canberra. However, for some political reasons, it was decided to build it here. So the airport infrastructure from the outset has always been very strong. It has an excellent terminal facilities, but we're working towards a fairly heavy growth path over the next 10 years or so. And that could see us up to about 2.5 million passengers a year in by about 2035 to 40. So we're planning for the future now. First part of that is a new check-in hall and facility, and that's going to include state-of-the-art new security equipment and also the latest technology from a check-in perspective on what we call CUTE and CUS technology. And that construction is underway now. In fact, the first phase of that will open in August. Second phase will open in December with a new security screening. So that will increase the terminal size by about 30%. That will then flow through to a complete refurbish and upgrade of our retail area, providing more retail facilities for our customers. Qantas Lounge is relocated on the airside of the terminal, and we'll be working through a complete revamp of our departure areas and gates as well. The third phase of that will then be the arrivals area, which again is going to increase the terminal footprint quite considerably. and that will open up and provide more arrival amenity for our customers as well, from baggage, retail, and other ancillary rent-a-car, which is a very important part of what we do here, and other facilities for our passengers. In addition to that, we have our normal capital upgrades program on pavement, runway overlays, and other upgrades around car parking, etc. In addition to that, I think a lot of airports have learned through COVID the importance of non-aviation activity and revenue opportunities for the airports. We're blessed with a lot of land around our airport here, at least 40 hectares on the eastern precinct of our airport. We also have a railway line that runs around the perimeter of our airport. This is a natural intermodal hub region. It connects very closely to Launceston, which is just 10 minutes away, plus also the major highways, Highway 1 from north to south as well to Hobart and up to Burnie, Devonport, plus the rail link, plus the air link. We're working strategically towards building Launceston as a major intermodal hub for the state, but also the most significant intermodal hub in the state as well.
So how's the progress been on the upgrades? Has it been sort of smooth sailing so far?
Yes, it has. We took full advantage of some of the downtime, if you like, through COVID to make sure that our planning was sound, up to scratch, to develop the capital program. We've been able to swing into action very soon after COVID when we're able to get back to normal resourcing for structural development with our building industry and so on and so forth. We've also worked closely with government on some assistance there on the development of our check-in hall here. We've also worked with them on a new freight facility for Virgin Australia. And I have to say it's been pretty smooth sailing from the outset. All of our programs so far are on track and on budget, which is very pleasing given that we know that there are quite a lot of challenges in the building industry right now.
So what was the impetus for the infrastructure upgrade? Why now?
We believe that given the strength of the Tasmanian economy, given the importance of Tasmanian airports, as recognised by the government, that airport infrastructure is incredibly important for the state. Given the ambition of our shareholders, that Launceston Airport is a very good investment, but it's also very important that we support the community here and the economy here by continuing to grow. And continuing to grow comfortably ahead, if you like, of the pace, the rate of growth of the state right now. So we think now is the time, and definitely it's a good time to be developing our airport infrastructure here.
So what are you hoping when all the dust settles and the upgrades are completed? What are you hoping to see? What benefits is Launceston Airport hoping to gain from the redevelopment? You mentioned this notion of the intermodal hub. Could that maybe turn Launceston once again into Tasmania's main airport?
Well, I think the north of the state is growing exceptionally well. As I mentioned before, as the business end of the state, Launceston is being recognised as a business centre, which is facilitating quite a lot of that growth. As a tourism hub, I think traditionally the physical location of Launceston lends itself to become a vital centre for tourism here in the state as that continues to forge ahead. So we see nothing but upside here on that potential for Launceston to continue to grow its market share, if you like, of the total Tasmanian air travel pie.
Right, we're going to take another quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Shane a little bit more about Launceston as a regional airport and some of the unique aspects and challenges that it faces. All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Australian Aviation Podcast. We're here with Shane O'Hare. He's the CEO of Launceston Airport. Now, Shane, you've worked at a big capital city airport in Melbourne. You're now the head of Launceston Airport. What are some of the unique aspects and challenges of a regional airport as opposed to one in the capitals?
Yeah, so I think the regional, obviously Melbourne Airport, second biggest airport in Australia. I do sit on the executive committee of that airport. So we do see obviously some key differences between the airports. There is a scale difference, of course. So Melbourne Airport, in a normal day, will welcome around anything from 100 to 120,000 passengers, which is something that we would see in a month. Of course, the dynamics of the airport are different in the sense that there is a very strong international component of Melbourne Airport. It is a capital city airport. It's serving a population base of somewhere around about 4 to 5 million people. And so the daily operational needs are quite different. pre-COVID, Melbourne Airport has around 39 airlines flying there. And of course, the rate of return of those airlines is pretty strong now, back to that kind of number. So of course, international operations provide a different type of challenge. And for Launceston, we're very, very comfortable in our skin as a very strong regional airport. We're a domestic airport. We don't foresee international expansion, certainly in the foreseeable future. So we're very, very focused on making sure that we're providing that key link for Tasmanians, but also international and domestic visitors and business travellers into the state with our key airline partners, which are currently the Qantas Group, of course, is Jetstar, Qantas and Virgin. So the dynamics are quite different, but all the other elements are the same: operational safety, resilience, day-to-day operational challenges, the development of both your aviation revenue, but also non-aviation revenue, and also taking full advantage of the geographical region you're in to develop the footprint of the airport.
On the subject of airline partners, regional airports have come into focus recently, especially with the advent of Bonza, which specializes flying point to point between these regional destinations. It's brought a lot of traffic to airports such as, for example, its main base on the Sunshine Coast. Now, have you been in talks with Bonza about adding Launceston as a destination?
Yes, so we're in continual contact with all airlines that continue to operate here, of course. We have very, very strong partnerships with Qantas Group and Virgin Group. But of course, as an airport, our job is to facilitate growth of aviation. And we've had some fantastic discussions with both Rex and Bonza on future potential growth. And Launceston is a very, very attractive destination for those airlines as they grow. We know that Rex is very focused on capital city growth with their jet operations at the moment. However, we do know that they have an ambition to fly to Launceston, as do Bonza. So we are continuing those discussions with those airlines.
Where do you see Launceston Airport being in about 10 years' time?
So we see it as, obviously, our vision is to be the best regional airport in Australia. We're very happy to be awarded the best airport in the country last year by Australian Aviation Magazine. But we see Launceston becoming a very well-known airport with very high level of customer advocacy in the north of Tasmania. We see it as becoming, again, a very, very, it already is a preeminent airport, obviously, in the state. It's the second biggest airport in the state. But we see a very, very strong market share development here in Launceston Airport in the next 10 years with a very well-developed intermodal facility, which will include very strong development in freight facilities, rail links, road links, the development of green energy here with an ambition for hydrogen production at the airport, with hotel, retail and office facilities and considerably expanded terminal footprint.
Can you give us a bit more of an idea about those green energy plans?
Yeah, so we've signed a MOU just recently with a company called Countrywide Hydrogen, who have ambition to develop hydrogen production facilities for the conversion of diesel to hydrogen for trucks and trains, with three locations in Tasmania, Launceston Airport being the largest location. And that would necessitate solar power as one of the inputs to hydrogen production, but it would also revolutionise our energy requirements here as well for the production of green energy, which could lead to complete hydrogen conversion for even airport on-ground vehicles and other power conversion in the airport as well. Having said that, Tasmania operates mainly on hydropower, so we already have a very strong green footprint here, and obviously we plan to continue to make sure that we're at the forefront there on ESG.
What would you say are some of the major issues that face Australia's regional airports?
I think as Australia, you know, is a very heavily populated country on the East Coast, the cities are growing faster and faster. Regional airports are in different categories. There's very small regional airports. There's a larger regional airport such as ourselves and airports like Cairns, Sunshine Coast, Townsville, et cetera. So I think the key thing is to make sure that infrastructure development keeps up with growth. And I think that there's also the need for the recognition for airports, the regional airports, to be recognize that their importance recognized in the overall economic growth side of some of these regional cities. Some regional cities, there's population decline, etc. So often there's a challenge to keep air services going to these places. Airfares can be quite high to some regional airports. Pleased to say it's very competitive here at Launceston Airport. But I think that's a continual challenge as well for regional communities to be able to afford airfares into and out of the cities, the major cities. And that's a challenge for the airports to work with the airlines and the local and state governments to ensure that there's an equalisation of airfares on regional airport routes as well.
Now, there's been a lot of talk as well in the industry recently around takeoff slots, you know, Sydney Airport slots, particular bugbear for many airlines. How is the slot system at Launceston? Have you had any issues there?
Launceston doesn't have any slot issues, but of course, most of the network development for the airlines, because of the slot situation at Sydney, and also there are some pressure points in Melbourne as well, but a lot of the planning of network needs to emanate from those key cities. And so, of course, that can have some impact on ideal scheduling for Launceston and for some of the regional airports. But in itself, we do have some peak hour challenges here in Launceston. We have an early morning peak and we have a late afternoon peak here, and that can create some challenges for capacity. And some of that is driven by customer demand for certain frequency of flights. So early morning departure flights out of here, early evening departure flights out of here. So it's really that balancing act between the capacity requirements of Sydney, Melbourne, and the ability to operate to a reasonable schedule here in Launceston.
Do you believe that there are any reforms needed to the slot system?
I think that's a matter for Sydney Airport and the government to work through. I think slots are always going to be a challenge in the peak times for airports, and I think that will be a continuing issue. So I think the slot debate's an evolving issue, and my sense is that the airports are managing this as best they can to facilitate the requirements of both international airlines, in the case of big airports, and domestic airline peak hours, as they stand as best they can.
So we touched a little bit earlier on the vital role that regional airports play for their communities. How important would you say that regional airports like Launceston are to Australia's aviation industry?
Look, I think they're critically important. I think if you look at the situation in Tasmania, the driving distance from Hobart to, let's say, Burnie, or Devonport is somewhere around 4 to 5 hours. It's very important that air travel is available to within reasonable distances from regional cities around Australia to enable, obviously, people to travel in and out, whether that's for visit family and friends, whether it's tourism, international, inbound, people traveling to connect to international flights for emergency reasons. Airports are critical infrastructure in this country. And so the emergence and maintenance of regional airports are incredibly important for the towns and centres and for economic survival, quite frankly.
Right. Well, that's about all the time that we have on the Australian Aviation Podcast for today. Thank you very much, Shane O'Hare, for your time and your fascinating insights into the operation of Launceston Airport and the importance of regional airports in Australia. Just a quick plug before we go. Don't forget that the Australian Aviation Awards, as Shane mentioned before, are on again this year, 2023. They will be taking place on the 31st of August at the Star in Sydney. You do not want to miss it. It will be Australian Aviation's Night of Nights. Until next time, though, I am Jake Nelson. Thank you so much for tuning into the Australian Aviation Podcast, and we will see you next time.